for portable pleasure wherever you are. WKNR.
IDXers, this is Market Scope, offering snippets of radio stations for your listening pleasure and as an immeasurable aid to the serious DXer. I'm the serious Phil Wayne. Now, because you couldn't take any more than a few minutes of me last month, the NRC Board of Directors decided to save the final segment of Las Vegas AMs for this month. So here goes.
Well, Phil, let's pick up where we left off, and that was at 1140 with KXNO Radio. This station's called Casino Radio. It was the Crusher, which was kind of an interesting metal station back about 5 years ago. But now it's nothing but commercials about Las Vegas. And here's a sample.
For those of you who are visiting Las Vegas and you just happen to be a computer buff and you have some questions about our programming, or you just might have some suggestions, then why don't you email us right now via America Online at KXNO. That's KXNO, and we'll be glad to email you back. You're listening to Casino Radio.
Measles, mumps, diphtheria, pertussis.
Working together to keep our kids drug-free. You're listening to Casino Radio.
Welcome to the city and the radio station that never sleeps. Your 24-hour Las Vegas entertainment and information station, 1140 Casino Radio.
Las Vegas is the entertainment capital of the world for everyone, adults and children alike. Here's some of what Las Vegas has to offer for your children. Las Vegas has plenty to offer. You're listening to Casino Radio.
1140 Casino Radio is KXNO. KXNO, North Las Vegas, an equal opportunity employer of nationwide communications.
On local channel 1230, we find KLAV in Las Vegas. This radio station has a talk and news format. However, I think the board operator needs a little improvement. You'll see what I mean.
26 minutes after the hour, the Tom Likas Show from Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in. We're 1-800-5800-TOM. We're here with Jason Stewart and Jeff Wayne. What are some of the issues that really you guys get under each other's skin? What are some of the ones that really get
other
to
than
you?
Ones we just discussed?
Oh, no. I mean, like, are there ones that you really get angry at? I mean, do you ever really get angry?
Oh, yes. I'll tell you something that he gets very angry at.
Oh, thank you.
I talk about the fact that the Catholic Church, the Boy Scouts of America.
Oh my God!
The U.S.
This
Army
this early?
Says they
we
do not.
We've been here 20
they
minutes.
They clearly say they don't want.
44:55.
The Tom Likas Show.
And now broadcasting live is Dave Poolside at the Sahara. Hello, Dave. Okay, let's get another line here.
Lots of stuff going on here. We've got our director of advertising, Deborah DeHane, is demonstrating some. Hula hoops, where she's giving away hula hoops. We're going to have a hula hoop contest. This is like going back to the 60s, because Beehive, the new musical, opened last night.
Here
during the next couple of hours. And right now, we're going to go back to Tom Likas, Los Angeles. I guess it would be good.
Oh, jeez, cookies and more.
Natural homeopathic medicine that stimulates your body's natural.
Check out the savings through Tuesday at Sears Auto Center.
Broadcasting live from Dave and Lola's Radio World, this is KLAV, AM 1230, Las Vegas.
At 1280, we have KDOL in Henderson, Nevada. This Spanish station, we heard a couple IDs from on John Bowker's travelogue on side one of this tape. So let's give a listen to KDOL.
Lo juro yo.
Chiquiti bura la bimbomba, chiquiti bura la bimbomba, el mundo ganará.
La tarde, 32 minutos, temperatura a esta hora en Las Vegas, 79 grados. Por favor, maneje con cuidado.
Terremoto tropical, todos los amigos en el fantasma.
Checker la tiene y a muy buen precio, comprobado. Checker Auto Parts, donde hablamos su mismo idioma, el idioma de su auto.
Está
Estás escuchando el 1280 de tu radio.
This is KDOL. 1280 AM, Henderson, Nevada.
Radio.
La auténtica banda sinaloense estará aquí este viernes, sábado y domingo en el Sinaloense alternando con Dimensión 88, teléfono 796-3811. Nos vemos en el Sinaloense.
Amigos y amigas de la sintonía, a través de los 80, informa el día de hoy Luis Enrique Bonilla. En el resumen de notas...
Finally, at 1460, we'll find KENO, Keno Radio. And this radio station has a interesting format, as you'll hear. The call letters KENO actually mean something in Las Vegas. There is a gambling game known as Keno. So I guess it kind of fits.
Through a very tough year. But first, we have to go back out to Brady Cannon in Las Vegas for a news update. He's going to give you all the scores, all the news, all the deals. And then we're going to come right back here on NHL In the Crease on the Sports Fan Radio Network.
Sports. Today's cars have a lot of great equipment that you can get into, but at today's prices, you can't get into
it. Out of here! And it's at Las Vegas Honda this Saturday.
For the best sports talk and play-by-play 24/7, we're 1460 Sports, KENO Las Vegas.
1460 Sports.
Sports update from the Sports Fan Radio Network.
Brady Cannon back with you with your bottom of the hour headlines. Major League Baseball players took the field for the first time today, but in modern day jargon, you might call these replacement games, exhibition games. That's what I mean.
And that's a look at the AM and FM band during the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, if you'd like to hear all those air checks in their entirety, you can get those from the Publication Center just by sending $6 and requesting the Las Vegas air checks.
That's Las Vegas at their best for the 1995 NAB Broadcasters Convention. Thanks, Fred, for your excellent air checking and editing talents, and I guess we'll do it again next year. Now, next month, by the way, Fred, we go to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and look at that market, including a station that gave you the boot about 16 years ago. Or did you give them the boot? Speaking of boots, John Bowker has his on. Cowboy boots, no doubt, as he and Linda head west for the NRC convention. See you next month.
Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories from the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. Hello again. This month I want to give you a little of the flavor of installing a radio set back in 1922. Now, first of all, let's learn some of the language. One didn't own a radio. One owned a radio set. Radio was the technology to get sounds in the air, so you needed a radio receiver or a radio receiving set to receive them. Now, what follows is a statement published by the Director of Public Safety in Newark, New Jersey, in July of 1922. I quote, "In all of Newark, a city ordinance governs the installation of radio receiving sets. When the set has been installed, the owner must fill out an application blank and send it to the Electrical Bureau, City Hall, Newark, along with the inspection fee, 50 cents. An electrical inspector will then be sent to the house to examine the installation, which, if correct, will be approved, and a certificate to that effect issued. No antenna shall be erected over or under any wire of more than 600 volts, or fastened to any pole supporting light or power wires. If erected over power wires of 600 volts or less, the distance between the antenna and the power wires shall exceed the length of the antenna. All splices and joints shall be soldered, and all wires used to support the antenna shall be galvanized or of copper. Lead-in wires shall not be less than number 14-gauge copper or number 17-gauge copper-clad steel. A porcelain or composition tube shall be provided for the lead-in wire where it enters the building and shall be spaced at least 4 inches from any electrical power wires. Each lead-in wire shall be provided with a lightning protection device, type approved by this department. It shall be located at the point that the wire enters the building and not located near any inflammable gases or flying combustible materials, such as curtains. A grounding wire for the radio receiving set is required. This wire should not have any sharp turns or kinks and should proceed directly to ground. Ground should be a cold water pipe wherever possible. A gas pipe should never be used. If a pipe driven into the ground is to be used, it must be at least 1 inch inside diameter and at least 6 feet long. Ground wires run from the radio receiving set to the outside pipe should be encased in a wood molding outdoors to protect it from the elements. Never use a metal pipe to protect the grounding wire. And that's the radio ordinance of July 1922. I found it in a Newark newspaper dated November 20, 1923. And you know something? Except for the cold water pipe for the ground, those are pretty darn good guidelines. These days we use plastic so much that that wouldn't work anymore. Something this month triggered a thought in me, too. Over the months, questions come up through informal chats I have with club members on the telephone or in person, and I really never get to share them with the rest of you. One fellow asked, why do I use the term New England so often on the travelogue, but fail to identify other groups of states, such as the Pacific Northwest or the Mid-Atlantic states? Well, to the best of my knowledge, the only group of states with a truly official designation are the six New England states, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, listed there in the order of size. Another question was asked about the word terrestrial that I use now and then. Well, let me tell you, to the FCC, the CRTC, and the International Telecommunications Union, terrestrial means a station on Earth, and the grouping is maritime for ship stations, aeronautical for airplane stations, and land for those stations on hard ground. A radio transmitter on a satellite is called a space station, not a terrestrial station. So, all FCC-licensed U.S. broadcasters use terrestrial land stations. And lastly, just this week a friend mused with me that he hungers for local news information, but he said, you know, the TV stations spend so much time on murders and other crimes that he gets disgusted and turns them off. So I asked him, what about getting your local news from the radio? They don't dwell as much on bloody crimes. Gee, he said, why didn't I think of that? For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
This is the DX Change.
George Hepkeel, area code 516-587-5812, would like to sell a Grove SP200 sound enhancer featured on the inside back cover of the latest Grove catalog for $160 like new. Jack Woods, Post Office Box 1003, Waltport, Oregon 97394, would like to sell an Amico Mo TPA tunable preamp active antenna with AC adapter in mint condition for $45 in the United States. Clifford Snaufer at 444-1B Edgar Road, Elizabeth, New Jersey 07202, still wants to buy a phasing unit. Jeff Ross at 7 Timberwick Drive, Flemington, New Jersey, area code 908-782-3121, between the hours of 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Local Time only, wants to sell a mint-condition Sony ICF-2010. And Fred Vobey at the DX Audio Service has a telephone for sale which has a phone patch built into it, $25. And that's our edition of the DX Change on this month's edition of the DX Audio Service.
The DX Audio Service, musings from members. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, the editors, or publishers. Members may muse by calling the Action Line 24 hours a day.
Hey, DXers everywhere. This is Tom Jackson, old TJ from Sycamore, Illinois, and I have a big favor. I graduated from a DX440 to a Sony 2010, and I love the radio. Is there anyone out there who can give me detailed descriptions on how to use it? I need instructions on tape as far as, you know, presetting stations and selecting my shortwave bands and all that. I love the radio a lot, and if anyone can help me, the address here is 955 East State, Sycamore, Illinois, Lot 37, Sycamore, Illinois, 60178-9574.
Greetings, fellow members. This is Mike Friddle, originally from, well, not originally, but formerly of Brooklyn, now in Seattle. Jerry Starr, KMBY in Capitola at 1540. He had mentioned was silent and is now back on the air. To my knowledge, it was never silent. When I was in California, when I was down in California in December, it had a motivational radio format, which it still has to this day, as of July 6th, 1995. And also this also in memory of the great Wolf. What a man. God rest his soul. Wolfman Jack, passing of an era. God rest his soul.
Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, WCLB 105.7 in Framingham, is now WKLB. The caller change was made fairly recently. Here is Lucille for her message.
Okay, this is Lucille from Boston, Paul Burkhart's wife, and I'd just like to report that as of late June, WPLM 99.1, which used to be Variety 99.1, is now Boston's Smooth FM, which is an all-jazz format. So I thought I'd like to let you people know, since there are some jazz fans. And God knows we need a good jazz format in Boston. It's lacking.
This is Ted Chittenden from Phoenix, new member. Lots of news to report. AM 1150, KCKY Coolidge is off the air. AM 1280, KHEP has gone back to 24 hours. On FM, KHOT 100.3 Globe is now simulcasting 106.3 KEDJ and has dropped their talk format. And at 92.7, I have caught a pirate on the air called KAFR. Licensed to Phoenix is 3 watts, and they're about 10 miles north of me, but I still can hear them quite well.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. I'm very much enjoying Bruce Conti's discussion of the Newfoundland de-expedition. However, I would enjoy hearing some samples of what they heard. I'd like to hear one or two of the strongest stations from Europe and Africa, as well as one or two of the weakest or most unusual. This would give us an idea of the range of signal strengths that could be heard. I would also be very interested in knowing what they heard in the daytime on those beverages up there at the Atlantic Ocean. Also, Fred, thank you for reading my letter on the July DX audio service.
This is Jim Snowbarger. I was amused and frankly a little bit annoyed last month at Tim Hendel's letter, which received top billing in the Maine magazine, regarding his reaction to an obscure segment in an After Dark tape wherein a VOA engineer commented that he thought Clinton and his crew were a bunch of communists, or at least socialists. But more to the point, let us not establish the precedent wherein any DXAS member thinks that whenever he hears someone make a comment with political overtones of which he does not approve, that he deserves equal time. This is a radio magazine, and I, for one, would like to keep it that way.
This is Jeremy McCubbin from Grand Ledge, Michigan, calling to report a couple of FM changes. One is a call letter change. The WILS FM 101.7 is now WHZZ. And the other one is that WVIC has changed formats. It's instead of 94.9, the cat, it is now Buzz 95, the new 90s rock revolution. And that information was as of July 9th. And also, WALM AM 1216 Albion has been off the air since at least the middle of May.
Hello, this is Ray Rokita calling from Lansing, Michigan. Just wanted to let you know that we have another format change. WVIC, that once was 94.9 The Cat, has changed to the 90s Rock Revolution. Yes, they only had country music 3 months. And we're now down to one station in Lansing that carries country music. Earlier this year, we had 3 stations that carried country music for a short history of 19 days.
Hello, Fred. Ken Anischuk in Joliet, Illinois, from your sports editor. Paul Burkhart in Massachusetts called me the other day and said that 850 WEEI Boston is the flagship of the Red Sox baseball, not 680. That's an error.
This is Gary Liebisch calling from Raleigh, North Carolina, where as of July 10th, 850 AM is now billing itself as the Buzz. The advance word was that it would be an all sports station. So far they have Imus in the morning and a non-sports program, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, in the afternoon, and are filling the rest of the time with CNN News and some other sports programming. No word yet on what the new call letters will be. The former call letters, the present call letters, are WYLT.
This is Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, on Thursday, July 20th. For anyone that's interested in a good AM and FM cassette recorder, Radio Shack has the SCR-56. which is the catalog number of 14-745. Some of them are not picked up very well on AM. Make sure that you would check on those radios. Make sure that they are picked up fine on AM. Those that are picked up fine do very, very well on AM. They all do well on FM. There is a old-time radio record program called Turn Back the Universe on WMFO-FM 91.5 in Medford that they Phil Kolber plays a lot of records from the 1895 to 1925 era. Anybody that would like to contact him about old records, he can be reached at area code 617-395-7194. Are there any other stations across this country that also broadcast old-time records from the 1895 to 1925 era? Thank you.
It's time now for Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup. Brian Wilson, PM Drive at WCBM, has left the radio station. The rumors say that he may reappear on WOCT during the morning wake-up shift. Brian Wilson, once part of the popular Brian and O'Brien morning show on that station under its former call letters and format. WBEN 930 on the AM radio dials, new airborne traffic reporter is Mark Webster. He had previously done airborne traffic for Metro Traffic. WWKB 1520 has added the Ken Hamlin Show to its lineup. The KC Royals radio network is featuring Negro Leagues legend Buck O'Neill in 30-second vignettes between innings. O'Neill reminisces about the Kansas City Monarchs and other teams in the Negro Leagues during his broadcast. O'Neill, who is 83 years old, was a major contributor to the Ken Burns PBS series on the subject of baseball. KFBK 1530 News Director and afternoon talk host Rick Van Sice has left the station to return to KOMO 1000 on the dial in Seattle, Washington. The Wall Street Journal rumor mill says that Westinghouse is considering the purchase of CBS for $5 billion, that's with a B, dollars. The CBS network had previous discussions with QVC, Turner, and others. KPCO AM, which had previously simulcast its FM sister station, is now KHOW-2. That's right, KHOW-2. And KHOW-2 will largely program a syndicated fare with G. Gordon Liddy, Jim Rome, and Tom Likas. Now, this marks the first time that a duopoly is to have separate news talk formats and share the same name. The National Weather Service will terminate its National Weather Summary effective October 1st. A National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration spokesperson said that the agency has determined that the summary service is best left to the private sector. Stations desiring a list of private meteorologists may contact the NOAA and the National Weather Service. Fred Foy, whose voice has long been associated with radio's Lone Ranger and for his voice work for ABC, has just come out with a CD, also available on cassette, titled Fred Foy Remembers. Fred recalls his life in radio, interspersed with segments of old shows and anecdotes about life behind the scenes. 40 minutes of interesting conversation, to be sure, especially for any DX Audio Service member interested in the early days of commercial radio. This product is available direct from Mr. Foy, and you can contact Pete Kemp at the address information at the end of this article for more information. KSAN and KNEW will broadcast the Oakland Raiders football games for 1995. Captain Jack Pearson has returned to the airwaves, teamed up with his wife Lynn on WNBH in New Bedford, Massachusetts. The Radio Television News Directors Association, the RTNDA, has announced the winners of the 1995 Edward R. Murrow Awards for Excellence in Electronic Journalism. Radio Large Staff Newscast goes to WSB AM in Atlanta. Spot News Coverage goes to WBZ AM in Boston. Investigative Reporting goes to WBAL AM in Baltimore. Feature Reporting to WHAS AM in Louisville, Kentucky. Sports Reporting to WBAL AM in Baltimore. News Series to WLW, the Big One, in Cincinnati. News Documentary to WHYY-FM in Philadelphia. And Use of Sound to KCBS-AM in San Francisco. Radio Small Staff Newscast goes to WJDX-FM in Jackson, Mississippi. Spot news coverage goes to WBBN-FM in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Feature reporting to WJDX-FM in Jackson, Mississippi. News series to KFGO-AM in Fargo, North Dakota. News documentary goes to WUAL-FM in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Use of sound to WZFX-FM in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And if you'd like to contribute to this column, you can reach Pete Kemp at one of the following addresses. In CompuServe land, 72376, 2557. Internet, Pete, KZ1Z, that's P-E-T-E-K-Z-1-Z, at AOL.com. The FIDO system in the shortwave, ham, or broadcasting echo areas. Or you can netmail them to the Oracle 1:141/1015 or amateur radio packet KZ1Z at K1UOL.CT. An interesting publication is available on the computer, and we thought we'd talk to one of the authors of this publication, which is kind of interesting. Bill, can you tell me a little bit about the publication, what it's called, and how someone can have access to it?
Okay, the Airwaves Radio Journal is essentially an email equivalent or reflector of the Usenet news group REC Radio Broadcasting, and that's REC as in recreation, not as in destruction. and this, the news group's global. It goes, we have a, last time I checked, we had an estimated 10,000 readers, and that was about a year ago, and I would imagine that's nearly doubled at this point, if my traffic level is any indication on the group. Airwaves Radio Journal is sent out via electronic mail for those people who don't have Usenet news, or who, for whatever reason, maybe they download the information, they want it all in one piece, and then they subscribe, and then at the end of each evening when I post the articles to the news group, I also create one or more issues of the digest and have a program, mailer program, send it out to people who have subscribed.
What kind of topics do you normally talk about in Airwaves?
Well, we get into a lot of different things. I mean, when I started this, my basic inclination was to moderate it in the sense of trying to keep away destructive elements without in any way influencing the conversation, you know, unduly to accomplish that. A lot of people who have been on the Internet know that there are those that just take great pleasure in getting into groups and stirring up trouble, and moderated groups, if they're moderated correctly, can avoid them. The topics range from, I'll tell you what, the people that post, to give you an indication, will range from the president of CBS News to the president of, Monitor Radio, right through various levels of hosts and DJs and talk shows and program directors, right on down to the guy who wants to know how to get more, Megadeth played on his local rock station. We try to lean more toward the professional, broadcast professional, or the person which I have dubbed the paraprofessional, who has a strong interest in the industry, may or may not be currently employed in the industry. We talk about equipment, format changes, radio station sales, politics that surround different deregulation issues, politics that I've tried to keep back on the politics of the various hosts, because you get into some very strong feelings there. Just about everything you can think of that's directly related to broadcasting.
I imagine when you say about the politics part that you probably get a little controversy when someone brings up a topic like maybe Limbaugh or Bob Grant or one of the other talk show guys might be talking about on the air.
Well, fortunately, somebody has created a group called Alt Radio Talk that pretty much takes a lot of the real, what I consider personally to be, mundane conversations about who believes in what on the radio. So we get some email on subjects like Limbaugh, and as long as they're not, you know, insulting other people with their views too terribly, you know, I don't care if they want to talk about Limbaugh, it doesn't matter to me. It's when they get in and start with the, you know, cloning their favorite talk show host and not really saying anything original that I get a little antsy, because that often erupts into an argument, and I have to ride the fence between freedom of speech and not having a noisy group.
So do you get into topics, say, on radio and television engineering and programming and sales and just about anything else?
Engineers are a funny lot. When they start writing about their stories in the trenches and how they had to move a 300-foot tower 5 feet and all this kind of thing, it gets very interesting. However, then they're not a very vocal group, though. They tend to come out when something strikes their fancy and then go back into hiding, as you will. The most vocal, here's a shock, the most vocal segment among our radio professionals are the air talent. obviously, they make their money doing that. Those are the people that will do the most talking. And then we have a thing called radio watchers, which is a little thing I thought of about 2 years ago, which is I actively recruit people from different markets by posting and requesting them to come in and post anything they might hear in their market. And they are de facto volunteer reporters for the thing, in that they write in Radio Watcher Report. And we get some very interesting comments. In fact, I've had two people at least write in and say that they find very little need for some of the trades because they've heard about it 3 weeks before the trade came out in Rec Radio Broadcasting or Airwaves.
What kind of stories would you say are the most interesting on Airwaves?
I guess that depends on your point of interest, Fred. I personally enjoy things that are informative from the standpoint of what's going on in the industry. I also like it when people give out their anecdotes of their histories in broadcasting, what happened in 1948 when the squirrel got loose in the transmitter room. I love that kind of stuff. That's my personal love. I also enjoy when they start talking serious technical. But as far as the most popular threads, I would say they have to be formats and programming, because you're not only do you have your air talent with the predisposition for being communicative, but you also have the listeners out there who do, you know, the people who aren't really directly involved in broadcasting, who enjoy it nonetheless, and the college students that are coming in from their college stations and they want to know, gee, how do I get a real job, and what do I do? And invariably, half a dozen people will come out and say, go find a different field, and the rest of them will give them honest answers. And well, they're all honest answers, but we'll give them more encouraging answers on how to actually accomplish it. So we have a variety of responses to almost any thread you could imagine.
The files that you're sending out, the actual newsletter and such, that goes out daily, doesn't it?
For the most part. I'm amazed when I skip a day that I've got three letters in my box from people who are either frantic because they didn't get their airwaves or claiming I censored their post that came in at 2 o'clock in the morning and now it's 8 and it's not here yet. I don't live on the Internet, contrary to public opinion, but I try to get in there each day if I can and get several issues out. Now, if I miss a day, there'll be two or three issues the next day or what have you, and people can just read them at their leisure.
Do you get any people contributing or reading outside the United States at all?
We have quite a bit of penetration in Canada, which is technically outside the United States, but if you mean more like Europe and Asia, we get a lot of participation in Australia comparatively to other non-United States nations. Europe and the UK are next. You know, UK is part of Europe, but I mean, the UK is very, very well connected, it seems, and we get some from Germany. We have somebody from Finland that writes in occasionally. But those posts are pretty spotty, and I don't know if that's because news coverage overseas is more spotty or if it's just that they see all this United States content and presume that that's all it is. I would say it's 90% or at least 80% United States, North America, and possibly, and sometimes it's 100%, depending on who writes in.
Now, do most of the topics which you are covering in Airwaves, are they mostly on broadcast radio, or do you get out of talk about shortwave or other types of radio?
Well, of course, shortwave, unless you're talking amateur, is still broadcast radio, if you're talking the international broadcasters and what have you.
Right.
When I first chartered this group, I wanted to make sure I didn't step on any existing toes. So in the original charter, which has more or less survived through the years, more things have been added rather than taken away. There was a statement that said we don't focus on shortwave, but if something's of interest to the broadcast community in general, yes, we do. I do permit that and encourage it. In fact, you know, I The lines have been muddied over the years because the groups have found their own flavors, as you will, and we do some DXing information. We don't print the logs of the shortwave stations or GI Heard radio, what have you, from the other side of the world, because Rec Radio Shortwave does such a good job of that, there's no point duplicating.
But you do get into some discussions on broadcast radio as far as maybe formats and who's gone where and programming changes and such?
I would say that's the bulk of our professional traffic would be format related. The second, maybe, and this is guessing, I haven't done any research on this, but I would guess the second most important thing is radio station changes in regulatory laws. So now there's this big push in Congress, I guess it's passed one of the houses already, that would totally lift all ownership restrictions on radio and television stations in the United States, whereas now there's a limit of two AMs and two FMs per market, and I don't know what the national limit is, 20 or 30 or something like that, and it would lift all limits. It would just be an open market, and there's a lot of passion on both sides of that issue, some saying that it will destroy radio and turn it into a puppet for five or six or half a dozen or what have seven or eight companies that will own essentially all important media in the United States, and others who are saying, you know, that that's what has happened is there's been so many more stations that they have to do that, and there's quite a bit of passion on either side of that issue.
If you were to take a vote right now, how do you think it'd come out?
Boy, you know, that's a tough one. I would say that it depends on how you word your question that they're voting on. You know, if you worded it like, you know, would you like to see this brave new world for broadcasters to once again become dominant, blah, 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 then they're going to say, yeah, I want that. And if you say, are you in favor of decimating the airwaves and turning them into essentially a shopping mall owned by half a dozen corporate entities who have pretty much the same mindset, most people would probably say, no, I don't want that. So it really matters. If you just gave them a straight, clean vote of, do you think this is good for radio? I'll bet the air talent would vote against it, and the management would probably be overwhelmingly in favor of it. Because even the small stations, most of them see this as the time when they're going to cash out of a tough business for many, 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 many times what their properties are really worth. That is essentially what I see happening amongst the independent broadcasters. They say, well, I got a little 3,000-watt tea kettle 10 miles outside of market number 56. Somebody's going to come along and give me $20 million for this. You see, and you know, it's funny, but that may be an exaggeration, but nothing, radio station properties are not going down in value as regulations are eased. So right now, Group W, I guess, is Group W and CBS that are supposedly merging. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. I mean, if you have any interest in broadcasting, you know, this is the place to be. We get people from every, you know, you can go to a CompuServe broadcast forum or a FIDO forum, and these are all fine, but we get information from all online services and networks on ours, whereas these others are limited to their own networks. So I get anywhere from 40 to 60 posts a day. How I handle that is I generally post 75 or 80% of them. There's the ones that are misdirected and meant to go somewhere else. There's the ones that are just duplicates. You know, if somebody dies in the industry, there's going to be 39 people saying, oh, my God, so-and-so died, and you don't need 30 of those people, one right after another, saying the same thing. So I try to kick the most interesting, most complete 5 or 6 of those articles and post those. So that cuts the volume down a little bit. People that don't get posted get a response that tells them why. And very often I will, if they really feel strong that they should be posted and there's nothing otherwise wrong with the post, I'll go ahead and post it. It's no big deal.
Recently, the FCC has taken some hits regarding their policies and changes and deregulation. Do you get into many discussions about that?
Oh, yeah. That's part of what I was saying about the ownership changes. That's a big one right now. we get into the occasional predictable. There should be no more restrictions on radio stations speech-wise than there are on newspapers, and then somebody will come back and say yes, but and we get those every now and then. The FCC, well, I don't know if they've taken any real hits so far. It seems like everything's going pretty pretty smoothly for them. They don't have much to do anymore. You know, there's not a whole lot of regulation going on. There's not, I mean, and I'm 40 years old, and I'm not as old as some of the guys in the group, but I can certainly remember enough to know when there was this guest in your living room feel about broadcasting. And now, as one of our reporters from Kansas City has stated, it's a cash register connected to an antenna. And pretty soon it would be a cash register connected to a satellite dish, which is a whole other can of worms.
Now, if someone wants to receive your magazine, what do they have to do to be able to get it electronically?
Well, there's three ways that you can read what's in Airwaves. One is, of course, to access direct radio broadcasting if you have an internet connection that is supports what they call net news. The other is to request Airwaves Radio Journal by email, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And the third, and this is really the best way, in my opinion, is to, if you have a worldwide web browser, that we have a web page which is an interactive, what they call hypertext page. It allows you to have a table of contents which you can then click on, that location on the screen, and it will take you right to that article rather than spooling through a digest. If you want to reach through the World Wide Web, the address is http://radio.aiss.uiuc.edu/ then a little tilde mark, which on most keyboards is above the grave accent in the upper left, the little squirrely tilde mark, which I wish they would replace that with something. But anyway, tilde /online, one word, lowercase, online.html. And I know that's a lot to remember, but that will put you on a server that will let you read both Airwaves Radio Journal and our other publication, which is called Old Time Radio Digest, which has to do with the golden age of radio, which some of you people might enjoy. We have a server for that, too, up there. You can just select which one you want. To get it by email, you send email to the address subscribe@airwaves.com. And in the subject of your email, put the word in uppercase letters, subscribe. And you don't have to put anything in the body because the server doesn't read the body. So whatever you put there will not be seen anyway. You'll get a little file back that will either say you did something wrong or you did it right, and you'll be getting the mail either way. Then if you wanted to leave the list, you would send it to the same address, subscribe@airwaves.com, and put unsubscribe as the subject, and you would be taken off the list. It's that simple. And when you get the welcome file, it will explain what you have to do to post and how it's going to work and all that. We also have a publication called Airwaves Select, which is essentially Airwaves Radio Journal, more heavily edited for simply informational and news-related postings. We don't carry the conversational threads in this. It's strictly like if something has been sold, if somebody's died, if there's a new service on the market, anything that would be of interest to people who have a limited amount of time but want to keep up on the events, that's called Airwaves Select. Select-request@airwaves.com. And the same thing applies with you. You put the subject of subscribe to join and unsubscribe to leave the list. We also have one other publication which is coming very along very well, and that's called OTR, Old Time Radio Digest. We've been written up in several old time radio catalogs as the place on the net to talk about the golden age of radio. If you love the old shows, if you have a collection, or you want to connect up with people who have collections of old shows, or where do you buy this, or what does this mean? This list is humming. This list is one digest a night, but sometimes it can be 10, 15, 20K of stuff. So what you'd want to do is send there to OTR for Old Time Radio, OTR-request@airwaves.com, and again, the same convention of subscribe and unsubscribe in the subject line as with the other publications. This is an excellent publication, and it's very friendly, and it's co-moderated by myself and a gentleman in Texas who, as he puts it, actually remembers those shows. That's pretty much what we're offering right now. There's some other lists. If you wanted more information, my personal email address is wdp@airwaves.com. And you can reach me there and just say you heard about this, and I'll tell you anything else I happen to know.
Pete Kemp sent along some email that says, I don't know anything about this organization, but thought it may be of interest to others here on the DX Audio Service. It's from the National Association of DJs. It goes, I would like to invite all air talent to join the only organization that fully supports disc jockeys, whether they work in broadcasting, clubs, mobile DJs. The National Association of DJs has tips, information, and support that can make all the difference in their jobs, goals, and knowledge of the world they live and work in. For more information, just call or write the National Association of DJs, 340 West Tennis Street, Suite 101, Opelousas, Louisiana, and it's spelled OPELOUSAS 70570-0340. Attention membership, or call area code 318-943-0401. Just before we close out the DX Audio Service, I'd like to pass along some numbers and information. Our fax number is area code 419-221-1609. And our new email address is gnbc@alphaalpha.wcoil.com. And that's our DX Audio Service for August 1995. 73, good DX, and get out there and support radio.